This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Is your preschooler refusing to eat anything other than chicken nuggets? Or would your toddler rather play than eat anything at all? Well, fear not. There are solutions to that dreaded picky eater. And here with some tips and essential information is Roseanne Jones. She's a registered dietitian and an outpatient pediatric dietitian nutritionist in the Center for Development, Behavior, and Genetics at Upstate Medical University. She has over 20 years of experience in nutrition science and counseling. Welcome, Roseanne. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So this dreaded picky eater. I mean, it's on a lot of parents' minds. And I think many parents worry that their child is, you know, about what they eat or that they're not eating. But isn't there some truth to the fact that despite all of that worry, most kids get a variety of nutrition and the basic calories they need?
Absolutely. Their kids normally go through periods of food jags and food pickiness. And despite all of that, even the pickiest eaters can grow up to be not picky eaters.
Really?
Yes.
And you had said to me before we started interviewing today that you were one of those.
I was definitely a picky eater.
Yeah?
Yes.
And you were difficult? I mean, were your parents worried?
I was one to not let foods touch on the plate, and I was one to pick through the foods and find the part of it that I liked. And my parents were told, don't worry about it. You know, she'll eat when she's hungry. So.
And you're living proof that was the case.
That was the
you
case.
You grew and developed and became a nutritionist.
Right. And my parents didn't make too big of a deal out of my picky eating. So.
So basically, my question then to you, as a professional, should parents worry about this? Should they stress over it?
They should really not stress over it. It's normal, natural progression of growing and appetite. And kids will grow as they need to grow.
So you haven't seen in your practice cases where that really does affect a child's typical growth and development to be a picky eater?
Well, it will be a factor if the parents go out of their way to make the child eat. So then we run into childhood obesity. That's the other end of it.
Oh, that's very interesting. So the pendulum swings in the other direction.
It can definitely swing in the other direction.
So tell us, give me a little bit more of a feeling. I think many of us know when we say the word picky eater, we kind of have in our minds what that is. But from your experience, what does picky eating look like?
A picky eater just will refuse foods at dinner, refuse a meal completely. They'll pick at their dinners. They just don't look
favorites?
Like they like anything anymore. Something they liked last week, they don't like this week. So it can take all different forms in that way.
So how do your reactions, I mean, you've already alluded to this in terms of your own parents' reactions in your own case, but how does a parent's reaction influence then what happens? What's the natural progression to this picky eater?
So if the parent it gets immediately worried, and it is a mother's basic instinct to want your child to eat because you do want them to grow. But you need to back up and let the child choose what the child is going to eat. So your job is really to put the food on the plate, the nutritious food, and let the child pick and choose how much and what they're going to eat for that day. If you don't go in that direction and you get up and you make a different meal, if you never make that food again and never give them a chance to try that food again, they'll never eat those foods, or they'll always eat the food that is the less nutritious food, like the chicken nuggets and the pizza and those things. And those things are what can contribute to childhood obesity.
So I think the point I think that you're saying to me, it sounds like maybe the bottom line here, and I want to get into specific tips because
sure.
I think you have a lot of a wealth of experience in what you can tell parents to do and ways of handling this until their child's maybe food, interests mature or their tastes mature. But is it that you need to be somewhat flexible as a parent but persistent without being controlling on some level?
Absolutely, yes.
So you want to give them an opportunity to be exposed to many kinds of healthy foods, but you don't necessarily want to make it a battle over every meal.
Absolutely. There should never be a battle at the table. So really, once the food goes onto the table, the parents need to back off and put a little bit of everything on the plate and then not say another word about what's being eaten or not being eaten at the table.
So let's get through. Let's try to do this in the form of some tips. I'm going to throw a couple at you and see your reaction.
Sure.
What about respect your child's appetite or lack of one? What would you say to that?
That's perfectly good advice. Because some days kids are hungrier than others, depending on activity levels, and kids go through growth spurts. So kids will eat more during and, you know, when they're growing faster, and then they'll eat less when they're growing slower. And kids will do that between ages 2 and 12 or right around pre-puberty area.
So there is that variability, and it's developmentally determined in some cases. Mm-hmm. So is it important to give your child the opportunity, in other words, not flood them with food, but give them the opportunity to ask for more, for example, so that you don't have a quantity that you force them to eat?
That's perfectly good. And so small portions on the plate to begin with, and then let them ask for more. And if they don't eat something, we don't force them to eat it.
How important is routine in terms of when you eat?
Very important, because our bodies are machines, and so you need to feed the machine, put gas in the machine a few times a day, and on a regular basis it's better.
So basically same time every day is a good idea, whether it be three meals or the snacks, to try to keep it on some kind of a routine.
How about
introducing new foods? We were talking a few minutes ago about the importance of being kind of patient and flexible. But as you said, if you just fall back on the chicken nuggets and the pizza, then they're never really getting any exposure to some of these new foods. What do you say to parents? What advice do you give to parents about new foods?
So for new foods, it could take up to 20 times to see a food before a kid is going to actually like it. Before that, you're going to see all kinds of behavior of picking at it, tasting pieces of it, taking it back out of their mouths. And so you just go with that and serve other foods with the meal that the child will like.
Yeah, is it a good idea to say serve their favorite food, for example, along with this new food?
Well, their favorite food might be chicken nuggets, so not necessarily. So I would say put something nutritious, like their favorite vegetable on the plate, maybe a slice of bread. Maybe, and definitely a glass of milk. So milk, a veggie, and then whatever the new food might be.
Just giving them the chance. Yep. And they may just put it in their mouths, take it out.
Yep.
But you have to kind of allow that to happen.
Yep.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with registered dietitian nutritionist Roseanne Jones. We're talking about ways to cope with that dreaded picky eater. How about making it fun? I mean, are there ways that you found that you can make it fun around the dinner table?
I would say just taking the focus off of the food, in a way, at the dinner table is probably the best advice I can give. So you're setting the meal, and then talk about the day, talk about the weather, and, you know, good that happened that day.
How about trying some additional things, like, for example, broccoli, which is, I know, very hard for kids to embrace. Would you recommend trying it in a dip or something like hummus or something that might draw them into trying that kind of food?
I would say that would be a good snack idea, but the meal should be the same for everybody. So if you're serving cooked broccoli with a dinner, I wouldn't serve it even raw to the kids. I would just make that something you try for a snack.
So that there's a message there.
Mm-hmm.
So many parents faced with picky eaters try to be that short order cook where they'll make, well, Johnny, I'll make this, and Mary, I'll make this, and whatever.
Right.
And you're saying, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's not a good thing to get into. It's a lot of work for the mom or the dad. And so you need to just serve one meal and try to cover all the bases with your responsibility, which is to provide the nutritious meal.
How important is it for you as the parent to eat that food in terms of being a good example?
It's extremely important. Because kids, no matter what, every family that I talk to, if the parent doesn't eat the fruits and vegetables, the kids are not eating the fruits and vegetables. Even if they buy them and they're bringing them into the house, if one of those parents is not eating, you run a huge risk that the kids are just not going to eat it.
So it's really do as I do, not as I say.
Right.
And that's kind of a crucial one.
And even if they eat it when they're babies, they're not eating it when they're older. So
So setting a good example is important.
Setting a good example.
How about
getting
your kids to help, even in the grocery store, to pick some of those new foods and you know, participate in setting the table and getting involved in the dinner?
Right. Well, I think that's really important. I think that covers a lot of bases with kids. Once you give them a little power in the situation, they are always going to rise to the occasion. So if you buy something that they chose, they're going to try it.
So that seems like that could be a major issue in terms of that issue of empowerment and not making everything a kind of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
How about things, people have talked about this in terms of overall healthful eating, is not to have a lot of distractions going on. You don't necessarily want the television playing, or you don't necessarily want them having their iPads next to them, that kind of thing. How important do you think that is in your experience, or what have you seen?
I think that it definitely plays a part in the family meal dynamic. So I don't recommend having distractions. If we're focused on each other and not on the meal, kids are going to learn eating habits in a more focused way without the distractions.
And as you said, the opportunity for conversation over the dinner table, perhaps not making it all about the food, but and maybe removing some of the anxiety around dinner time in terms of there being kind of a set of expectations or I think a lot of that kind of distraction and noise to me raises a lot of anxiety around food, around the dinner hour anyway. What do you think about offering desserts to reward? In other words, if you eat your peas, you can have some ice cream.
I think food is a reward in any situation is not a good idea. Food should never be a reward. It's something that our bodies need. And so when you reward, it doesn't make a lot of common sense to me to put those two things together.
So when you counsel people, you tell them definitely don't
do that. And plus, especially then
sweets.
They get the idea that, you know, the sweets are more important than the other foods because you're giving them as a reward. And we don't want that going on in our minds as we get older.
What other kinds of advice do you often find yourself giving to parents? What's your bottom line here with the picky eater then?
The picky eater, the main advice is to just make a nutritious meal and make it your responsibility to provide that nutritious meal for the entire family, not two meals, just the one meal, and everyone eats it or eats what they like of it. And so then that fulfills your responsibility, and your child will grow in the natural way they're supposed to grow.
And if you have anxiety about that whole process, do you also recommend it sometimes to check in with your pediatrician, check in with your primary care?
Absolutely. You can check, you know, the growth charts will tell it all. So you can go to the doctor and have them go over the growth chart with you, and 99 times out of 100, your child's going to be growing perfectly well on that growth chart. And so then you can sit back and relax and know that they're eating what they need.
And not make it a power struggle.
Right.
And I guess any change will take place slowly over time. And the patience seems to be important here as well.
Patience does, yes.
I want to thank you for coming in. A lot of people are out there struggling with this kind of problem, and I think this is very, very good advice. My guest has been Roseanne Jones, a registered dietitian and outpatient pediatric dietitian nutritionist in the Center for Development, Behavior, and Genetics at Upstate Medical University, with over 20 years of experience in nutrition science and counseling. Thanks for joining me again, Roseanne.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.